Oh, well, we can start all over. That's fine.
Yeah, let me grab my mic. I'm so sorry.
Got it. You ready?
Yep.
This is the Doers. This is the Doers Podcast.
Do it.
I love that you're doing that.
I do what I do.
Conversations with creators,
innovators,
and entrepreneurs from Lancaster and the Central Pennsylvania region.
These are the people who make Central PA a great place
to live, work, and play.
Start again.
I'm Jason Mundock. Today on the program, it's Diane Dayton, executive director of LCTV 66, producer and host of Behind the Lines, and a voice and presentation trainer located right here in Lancaster. Diane is a master communicator whose vast experience in media training and consulting can be summed up in four words.
It's all about voice.
Over 20 years ago, Diane launched a general interest interview-based television program called Behind the Lines, that continues to this day on LCTV 66 here in Lancaster.
I was up at Blue Ridge, and I was doing a commercial, and that's when I was asked by the station manager at the time, hey, would you consider hosting a TV show? And that's when I thought, you know, this could be a good thing.
Giving others a voice in our community is a top priority for Diane and her work on Behind the Lines. Her antenna is always up, looking for interesting stories to share.
Short conversation, I'm saying, hey, you want to do a TV show with me and tell everybody about this and the work that you're doing? So it can happen anywhere at any time.
Diane's incredibly vast career began in radio long before the internet, when the format played a larger role in the dissemination of information to the community.
What I was learning is the power of radio. It truly is the theater of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, you can visually create things in everyone's mind with what you say and how you say it.
Over the years, Diane explored other related avenues like event production and voice and presentation training. But she always stayed close to broadcast media and her passion to connect with the local community. In 2011, she helped launch Lancaster's community TV station, LCTV 66, which can be seen on the Lancaster Comcast package and online via YouTube and Facebook.
That's how the station started, because we wanted to have a voice again for the community. This is a wonderful community. So we are 24/7 on the air.
You can learn more about LCTV 66 and catch Diane's TV show Behind the Lines online at lctv66.org.
Okay, oh, cool, awesome.
This is the Doers Podcast.
Brought to you by the Candy Factory.
Co-working in Lancaster.
It's all about voice. Giving voice to commercials, messages on hold, training pieces. Also, giving voice in the TV shows that I do to individuals, to organizations, to ideas, to nonprofits. And then finding your voice. And that's where I train people to hear themselves as other people do, so that they can become more one with who they are.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because this is such a well-rounded representation of that one concept.
Hmm.
Right? When you say it's all about voice, on one hand, your talent, right? So you're producing these television shows, and you're the face, you're the voice. And then the commercial work, the message on hold, that sort of thing, and then helping others, right? So yeah. It's the full picture about giving voice, not only for yourself, but for others.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the production side, the television shows. Tell me about your current projects.
Wow, there's a lot of different things that we have in the works. We most recently did a show on mental health, and I think it's so important that we do talk about mental health. And that's one of the things that I like doing with the TV show, talking about ideas, giving information that we need to have. The Extraordinary Give, that's so amazing here in Lancaster, bringing everybody on there that we can get on set to promote what's going on,
right?
And how we can make a big difference. That's what it's about. It's about making a positive difference in our community and beyond.
And this is Behind the Lines,
mm-hmm.
The television
yes.
show. Where can people see this show?
They can see it if you have Lancaster Comcast, Channel 66, and we also have a Facebook page, and we also have a YouTube channel, so you can also see shows and clips there. We do some things with streaming on our Facebook page as well.
And you're producing the shows as well as hosting the show?
Right.
How is that decision made in terms of who gets to be on that show and what you're focusing on? What's that process?
It's what happens to appear.
Oh, that's...
I mean, really, it's either talking to somebody,
sure.
and I see, oh, wow, let's do something with this. For instance, I was getting my nails done. Happened to be hearing a conversation of somebody who just walked in talking about some squirrels and talking about raccoons and taking care of them. Here I find out about Raven Ridge Wildlife Center. I never knew it existed. So, short conversation, I'm saying, hey, you want to do a TV show with me and tell everybody about this and the work that you're doing? So it can happen anywhere at any time.
Yeah, literally.
And I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. When you mentioned training, you're talking about like training videos?
Well, I'm talking about training with individuals with public speaking.
Oh, okay.
And presentation skills.
Gotcha.
And understanding and hearing how you really sound. People like you and I hear our voices all the time.
Sure.
But most people don't. And sometimes when I play it, most of the time they don't like it. And you know the reason why they don't like it?
Why?
Because it doesn't sound the same way to them in their head as it sounds there. So I have to help bridge that connection.
That's true. You know, I remember as a kid, like the first time I heard my voice on a tape recorder. It was very interesting to hear that.
Yes.
And I guess over the years, I've just gotten used to it to where, I don't know, does it blend? To where eventually what I hear in my head is probably similar, more similar, at least to me and my perception. So who's a candidate for your training?
Anybody, everybody. It's about understanding how you produce your voice and what you have available to you, where the resonance is in your voice. And that's where studying singing and doing acting and performing has come into my training with this.
Okay.
To work with people on enunciation and diction. Sometimes it's as simple as opening your mouth more. I mean, I remember one training session, I did that with one person and we played it back. Eyes were huge, like, oh, wow. And all it was opening your mouth more.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
How did you get into that line of work?
Funny you should ask. It was one of those things where I've been doing radio shows. I did on air as a DJ, and I also did an interview show and in news in radio, and started working with other clients, advertising, who were also then getting into doing radio shows, or they were presenters, and they were saying, hey, could you help me with this?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think I can do this.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's how it kind of started.
You mentioned the hold message.
Yes.
That's you. We always wondered who that was.
If you call Hershey Entertainment and Resorts, yes.
It is. It is. That's an interesting line of work, I think.
It is.
You probably are analyzing every time you're hearing hold music or a hold voice.
Well, I did some messages on hold for the Comfort Suites in Mannheim.
Oh, is that right?
And it was all based around who they are, what they provide, and creating that image. Because you know what? When you're on hold, you have a captive audience.
It's this incidental, accidental presentation of information.
Yes.
But yet, it can be very powerful.
Absolutely.
This is the Doers Podcast.
Visit us online at coworkinginlancaster.com.
Home of the Candy Factory, a co-working space in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
How did you get started in radio or in broadcasting or whatever your first step was?
Well, I went to college in Oregon and studied communications. Singing, acting, performing was a part of the radio station because I figured it would look good on my resume.
Sure.
And had started a theater company out there. But then it was, why don't you come home and get a real job?
Of course.
So I came back, happened to see an ad in the paper for radio. And this was back over at WLA. This was at WNOW and WQXA. Went in for an interview and just started.
Wow.
Working in writing commercials and being thrown into the production room as one of the few women there to voice spots and doing what was called traffic programming things. So I kind of learned a lot.
Sure.
In that first job that I had. And everything kind of grew from there.
So you're in radio, early career.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your path through radio. Because you ended up on air, which is...
Right, I did.
Which is probably the goal for a lot of people who get into radio.
Right. I came over to FM 97. We were actually part of a creative team at the time and doing a lot of writing and campaigns, which I absolutely loved. Because what I was learning is the power of radio. It truly is the theater of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, you can visually create things in everyone's mind with what you say and how you say it. And then from doing that, the opportunity came up, hey, would you like to go on air? I'm thinking, well, yeah, then why not? Let's try this too. And I started out like a lot of people do in their first beginning, overnights.
I was going to ask that. Were you doing the overnights?
Oh, I was doing overnights when Michael Jackson was really hot in the 80s. I learned how to moonwalk up in the studio by myself at night. But it was really good. It was. Then I went to middays. And at the time, I went by Diana Ricks. And then I came off there. I think I'm trying to remember exactly how this was. I did news a little bit. I went back to my real name, Diane Dayton. And I also did some big band on WLAN. But this was back when there were personalities. And we used to have lost pets we would talk about. And, you know, we were the place you would turn to hear the cancellations of school coming out.
Absolutely.
You know? And actually, you know, I loved that because I knew people were listening and there was a purpose and a reason and a connection.
Yeah, you know, radio for me in that, at that time, I was in the early 80s, been middle school and high school. I was in high school in the late 80s. And, you know, radio was magic to us. And if you could get through to a request line, it was like hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
Those DJs were larger than life personalities. You know, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, so we were listening to a lot of rock stations out of Pittsburgh, and it was celebrity, and they were the gateway for anything new and exciting when it came to music. Big music fan.
Yeah.
You know, you guys set the stage for our generation. It was really powerful.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun.
How much leverage did you have? I want to dig into this radio thing a little bit, 'cause I'm just
okay.
How much leverage did you have as an on-air disc jockey in terms of what you could play?
There was a little bit. There's always what's called a clock, where you have what's in hot rotation and things that move up and move down through that. And within there was a certain amount of flexibility that you could add your own personality and then creativity to any little side things you wanted to do as a part of your show.
What took you out of radio?
I was doing media buying and writing commercials, voiceover. And because working in radio, people would call there to get a DJ for a wedding or a party.
Yeah, right.
I was so busy with all of those things that it was like, okay, do I have to come in and do my show? I should be developing this entertainment company, which I did, Class Act. Did that for several decades. And the media buying turned into Dayton Communications.
Nice.
So that's kind of what got me out of that.
Opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that was an era when the wedding and event DJ industry was just exploding.
It was.
So now we're in the 90s and you're doing events and Dayton Communications is your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Take me from there. Like, what?
Okay.
Where did you go?
All right, I was doing all of that. And then 1998 is when I was up at Blue Ridge and I was doing a commercial. And that's when I was asked by the station manager at the time, hey, would you consider hosting a TV show? And that's when I thought, you know, this could be a good thing. This would stretch me. I kind of missed being in media, too.
Sure.
You know, when you're doing something in your personality and you're connected with the community that way, you kind of miss that if you're not connected that way. So I thought, yeah, let's do it. I'll give me a platform and access to meet people to talk about projects and ideas and that sort of thing. So that's when TV opened. And you know what was the hardest thing for me with that?
What's that?
When you're in radio, you are so used to reading everything.
Right.
You don't think about it till you're sitting down and you're in front of the camera and you're not using a teleprompter. Oh my heavens, I've got to actually think and talk without reading. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but it was like, whoa, in the beginning.
No, that is a dramatically different
approach. Absolutely, it was. It was. Mm-hmm.
Had you done any television prior to that?
I had done TV commercials.
Okay. As talent?
As talent, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did have some experience behind
right.
the camera.
But doing a show is a whole different thing, and especially when we are recording it live to tape, as we call it, where I'd have the earbud in, and I'm getting the time cues, sometimes other pieces of information, and you're still trying to talk to your guests and keep it all together, and you've got all these things going on at the same time. It was a whole different ballgame. But you know, like everything else, you just keep doing it.
And so you've been doing that show for 20 years.
Yeah, it's over 20 now.
How often is the show produced?
Well, it used to be a weekly show. Now it's I probably do two in a month. But we air them over in different time periods and that sort of thing.
Got it.
So some things are specific about an event. Other things are general information that you can keep airing.
Spending a lot of time in radio, right? shifting to television, do you find one more or less fulfilling?
That's a good question. I enjoy them both. With radio, you don't have to get out of your pajamas if you don't want to.
It's true.
Don't have to do hair and makeup.
Yeah, much less involved.
You know, so you know, that has its appeal, too. But, and I also think, too, with radio, there can be a certain amount of anonymity that I would like to pursue more with possibly some podcasts in the future, to be able to talk about issues where people would feel more comfortable not being seen.
Yeah.
But just talking.
This is the Doers Podcast, conversations with
creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs
from all around Central Pennsylvania.
I know you jumped back into radio after leaving radio.
Yes.
Let's talk about that journey.
I love jazz, all kinds of jazz. And at the time, this was it was like probably 2000. There was the Philadelphia station, WJJZ. There was something in Baltimore, Washington, New York, and all over the place.
Yeah.
But I would have to lean out my window to bring in the station.
Right. Put the aluminum foil around right, the antenna really. To get it. Sure.
And I'm thinking, oh, come on, you know, why doesn't somebody do this? Because it was really a hot format at that time. So the more I thought about it and the more I went to go hear some of these Sunday brunch shows in mm-hmm. different areas with other people, I thought, you know what? I think we can do this. And that's when I talked to a friend of mine, Jim Buchanan, who used to also work in radio. And I thought, why don't we do, together we could do, a Sunday brunch show. And why don't we talk to The Rose, WROZ, and look at some, like that 11 to 1 programming time on Sunday.
Okay.
And see if they would be interested in doing this. And we did that for 2 years, successfully. Even starting a radio show is like starting a whole radio station because you've got to get product. You've
right.
got to get known in the industry, being legit. Connection with the artists and getting the liners. Working on our clock, doing our music and rejoiners, producing the shows, putting it all together, promoting it, working with sales staff on how to sell this.
Sure.
All of that. And it was one of those things, well, if I'm going to do it, we're going to do it, you know? Let's
yeah, go
do
all
it.
In.
Absolutely.
What's that like going to a station as an independent producer and saying, you know, pitching an idea?
Well, I had a relationship with the station because I had been in radio in different capacities, been there even voicing commercials there, placing media buys for clients, already knew all the people.
Yeah.
So it was just talking to the people that I needed to put it together and to launch it.
And they were willing to take a chance.
Yeah, and especially when you look at a time period that doesn't have a very high rating, and it's like, hey,
right,
I can help you with this. I think we can have an impact with this, and I think your audience would like to hear this music.
Right.
Do you know how we programmed that?
How?
We took a lot of the hits that were being played on the other smooth jazz stations, but then also took some of the old standards to put those in. We took songs that a soft rock audience would know, like Maria Muldaur's Midnight at the Oasis, Ventura Highway, you know, yeah. things like that, but done jazz.
Oh, okay. And so there's a familiarity.
Absolutely.
To
and
That's
then we
smart.
Mix it all together. I mean, we used to go out and we would have anything from teenage girls to a lot older people say, hey, we listen to this show. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. Was the show responsible in any way for your work with the Berks County Jazz Festival?
Yes, because we launched in July, I believe, of 2002. And the Berks Jazz Fest is always in the spring. So I knew if I didn't get up there before I knew we were going to put this show on, I'd miss a whole year and be behind
right.
on connecting with artists and management and just people who were involved in this genre and everything that it was then with all this live music.
Right.
I'd go up to New York to meet artists and everywhere in Baltimore and Washington. It made a big difference. And that's when I started doing things with the Berks Jazz Fest. And this year is the 19th year I'll be working with them with podcasting and videos. And it's their 30th anniversary.
Wow. That's fantastic.
It's really exciting.
You're listening to the Doers Podcast, brought to you by The Candy Factory,
a co-working space in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Visit us online
at coworkinginlancaster.com.
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 I'm Jason Mundock, talking today with broadcaster, trainer, and communicator Diane Dayton. Diane is the host of Behind the Lines. It's a 20-year-old plus local television program that features people who are making a difference here in Lancaster and around Central PA. The show now lives on LCTV 66, a community television station that Diane helped launch back in 2011.
After we lost our community TV station in 2000, when Comcast bought Suburban Cable, our community station essentially went away, at least in the way that it was before, which was live sports and original programming. There was a decade in there. We didn't have a community station. Well, Frank Aldorfer was the chief engineer at WLAN and FM 97 when I was there as a DJ. His family owned the station. So he and I have known each other since the 80s. We would periodically see each other at business functions or chamber meetings or mixers and that sort of thing. And we'd always start to have this sidebar about community programming and the need for more community programming. And gee, what happened with the TV station till we got to the point where, you know what? Maybe we can do this. I had gone to a media reform conference in Memphis just looking for something to do and figured I'd see what was there.
Yeah, check it out.
So I came back with all of this information about regulations and what the process would be with this. So that's how we kind of started. We looked at each other, same place where we had worked together in radio.
Right, WLAN.
He said, I still have the building. We can do this. And we started to get people together. And through the years, we did this in 2011 is when we launched programming.
Gotcha.
So there's been different people that have been involved with us and people that come and go and volunteer and that sort of thing. But that's how the station started, because we wanted to have a voice again for the community. This is a wonderful community. So we are 24/7 on the air with everything from programs produced locally with, like, Ravello. We've got some of their things on there, as well as my show, other shows that people bring in, arts. We've done a lot of some original plays that were part of it, Lancaster Roots and Blues. We do some nature programming. And what's different about us as a local program station, when you go onto your TV guide, we're like everybody else. We have the program in there with the description. So it's not just this thing running across
local.
Yeah. You can find what's there. And I think that's really cool. And we're looking for people all the time who have ideas and want to be a part, because this is your station.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You came up through sort of at a kind of a peak time for the traditional media. If you think about radio and television starting in the 30s, 40s, and then kind of peaking out before the internet, before this revolution. And now you're spending 20 years or so on the internet side of media. From your perspective, positive or negative in terms of how things have changed when it comes to communication and media?
Well, it's some of both. It absolutely is. I miss some of the connection that we had, even in the production room, like producing spots when we used to go into studios and do it instead of me producing it by myself, talking to myself and sending it off electronically. I miss some of the human connection that we used to have, and the fact that radio was this source, you know, that people just hung to for information, and we were a real community through that. But yet now, the community that we have, I can be talking to somebody, as I do when I took my radio show to the UK, just as easily as you and I are talking right here.
Right.
The world has opened up with that. And I think that's a real beautiful thing, as long as we can keep that intimacy, that personal, that we had before on this larger stage, as you will.
You look back over your career and you say, the common thread throughout all of this work is giving people voice. What is it about giving people a platform that drives you to do this work?
Wow, that's a good question. It feels good. And it does so much good, I think. There have been times where we've come off the set of doing a TV show, and it's like, thank you for letting me tell my story. Thank you for getting this information out. Thanks for making a difference. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that ripple effect.
Where do you take your career from here?
It's one day at a time. And I have a few ideas that I'm working on right now.
That we're going to keep behind the curtain?
It has to do largely with having a positive impact on each other, lifting each other up, and using these various mediums that I've been playing with and using over these decades to make it more accessible for people.
That's a great foundation to start with. Really excited to follow where this goes. This has been a real pleasure. Just a blast talking to you about all these great things you've done. Thank you so much for coming in and taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule.
Thank you for asking me. I've really enjoyed being here.
The Doers Podcast is produced by Jason Mundock at The Candy Factory,
a co-working space located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Find links and show notes for this podcast and all of our episodes online
at The Candy Factory website,
coworkinginlancaster.com.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And keep on doing.
Keep on doing.
Keep on doing.
What you love to do.
This is going to be such a success.
Hey friends, Jason Mundock here. All of the voices in our intro and outro are actually Candy Factory members.
Wait, what?
It's a great community, and yes, we have a good time because, frankly, work doesn't have to suck. And we all know that working alone does suck, so if you're a freelancer, entrepreneur, remote worker, or even a student here in Central PA, check out coworkinginlancaster.com and consider joining us at the Candy Factory, an awesome co-working space in Lancaster. Starting at just $50 a month.
Oh, yeah.
That's for a community membership. You can meet other doers in a super creative and collaborative space, tap into business resources to help you get your job done efficiently, and learn all kinds of new and inspiring stuff through our network of really smart people, i.e., our members and guests. We even have a podcast club for members who want to make their own.
Wink, wink.
There's a membership level for everyone, so don't hesitate. Check it all out at coworkinginlancaster.com. Do it.
Do it.